Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
Today's episode is brought to you by the folks over at SeatGeek, the best and easiest to use ticket platform out there. They take the confusion out of buying tickets using a 0 to 10 scoring system and a green is good, red is bad color rating system so you and your loved ones get the best deal possible. So whether it's going to see our beloved Red Legs at Great American Ballpark, the Bengals over at Paycor, FC Cincinnati, one of the area college teams, or pretty much anything in between, use promo code RIVERFRONT at checkout and receive $20 off your first order. Click the link in the show notes to download the app and get started. That's Riverfront, one word, for $20 off.
What is up, Houday Nation? Hope everyone's having a good week. This is the Bengals Show presented by the Riverfront. I am your congenial host, Joe Farsing. Alongside me is my very bestest friend, and I hope yours, Greg Niemann. Greg, how are you, sir?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
I am great. Bengals were, had the bye week, so it was nice to have a Sunday of not being nervous, not having
really
to stand
was.
In front of, I didn't watch any football. I'm not someone who's going to sit there and watch other games. I don't care. I get kicked off the TV by my 8-year-old anyway.
Yeah.
So, it was nice not having to worry about stressing over anything. So, as much as I hate there not being a game, it's nice to have that break. I wish we're later in the season, just for they're not playing 11 straight games and then the playoffs, but
yeah,
it's always nice to refresh the batteries, so.
It was nice. I watched football and I didn't watch any of the division games. So I can't watch games and then try to root again. I just didn't watch division games and just hung out and just watched football, just carefree. It was nice. I didn't really, you're not zoned in on one thing. You're kind of just chilling. So it was entertaining, but we're happy to have it back.
It's nice to watch just as a spectator. Yeah. Have you ever been to an actual football game to where you're not really concerned about who's playing?
Not an NFL game. I've been to a college game where I did not care, but an NFL game, I have not been to a game with two teams involved that I just didn't care about.
Same. I've been to Miami up at Jaeger Stadium. I don't even remember who they played. This was 20 some odd years ago. My wife's friend, who was an exchange student, came back to America with their boyfriend, and he really, really wanted to see an American football game. That was actually the same day the Bearcats played Ohio State in 2002 and should have beaten them.
Yeah.
That was the year Ohio State won the national title, but
yeah.
And I went to Miami to watch them play some, I don't even know, it was some Mac team. And then I saw a game at OU. Buddy of mine went to school there, and I didn't care if OU won or lost or who they were even playing, but it's fun. I mean, it kind of makes you remember why you love football, because you're not there with your asshole puckered, like worrying about every single play and like getting pissed off if running back cuts back and picks up 20 yards. Like, give a shit. It's just fun. Yeah. So
actually the one of the games that I went to that was like that between two teams I really didn't have a dog in the fight was the Alabama versus Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel beating them as a redshirt freshman when he bumped into the lineman and the ball popped up and then he threw it for a touchdown.
Oh, that's a hell of an atmosphere to
A very iconic game. We took a kid on a recruiting trip down there, and it was Thad Moss, Randy Moss's son.
Okay.
So we took him on a recruiting trip down there, and we had like third row seats. It was phenomenal.
Oh, that's terrible being that close to an SEC. Was A&M in the SEC at that point?
A&M was in the SEC at that point. Okay. It was like right at the beginning of them being in the SEC.
I know Manziel was right. I can't remember when they switched, and God, it's been so long since Manziel was, was there anymore. So it's kind of forgetting which was which.
Thanks for calling me old. Got it. Thanks.
Hey, I'm older than you are, man. True. Suck it up.
It only gets worse from here, Greg.
Wait until things hurt worse when you wake up than when you went to bed. That's when you know you've fallen off the deep end.
I'm on my way.
As always, if you guys enjoy us, if you guys enjoy our other shows, the Riverfront Late Night Reds, Riverfront U, join our family at patreon.com/riverfrontcincy. Again, you get some awesome stuff. We got a lot of good content that's on there. Ryan Roberts does a fantastic job covering UC. He's got some content there. You also get access to our awesome Slack channel where we talk about literally everything, to where zero Des Ritter slander will be, I don't want to say not allowed, but it will not go unanswered and unchallenged by a certain individual here.
You can't stop me. It's coming.
I will find a way to kick you out.
No. Don't just join. Get your friends, get your family, everybody. You just tell everybody you know, get on there. Let's go.
Exactly. It's, again, we have a hell of a fun time just talking literally everything. NBA season just kicked off, so there's a lot of talk, especially Tim Dane was a gigantic NBA fan, so.
Yeah,
that channel's hopping. So, and again, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, please subscribe. Please hit like. If you guys aren't watching us on YouTube, if you're in your car, don't do it right now. Wait till you get home. We don't want to be the cause of any accidents or anything. But again, like and subscribe our YouTube channel. We're getting close, approaching 1,000 subscribers. That would be dope if we hit that at some point before the new year. Just a nice round number. I like symmetry and round numbers. So help us out to that. Again, for those who are still on Facebook or just like arguing with uncles and old people that post idiotic crap, follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/riverfrontcincy. Ready to go this week?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's go. First up, a little bit of news. Injury updates. Orlando Brown says he is good to go. He was limited in practice on Wednesday. I haven't actually checked the updates to see if he's a full participant or still limited today, but he should be golden to cover the blind side for Joe Burrow on Sunday. Joe Burrow and T. Higgins have no injury designation as expected, so they're full participants. That's awesome. You know, they need T. They need 2021, 2022 T, 2020 T for that matter, to show up, especially this second half of the year. You can't rely on just one playmaker. They're not getting – Tyler Boyd's kind of – I don't want to say become an afterthought, but has very much become kind of just – wasted it because they can't get anything. Everything's so condensed. And if you're going to, Jamar Chase has to be the guy you give the ball to because he's your best playmaker. He's the best run after catch guy. And if you can get T. Higgins going, hitting over the top, that opens up for everybody. Tyler Boyd's going to be able to be your third down demon again. But again, need T to find, whether it's health, whatever it is. I mean, he keeps saying that, his contract and anything like that hasn't been affecting him. I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, it's the variable that has changed from last year to this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, having almost back to 100%, probably as close to 100% as Burrow's going to be this season, having him back under center is only going to help things. So,
It would be a great week for him to kick off his season in a big way.
Exactly. Just go out and moss some people. The only player not practicing is Akeem Davis Gray there. He's probably going to be out again. He's got the knee injury that's just lingering. In hindsight, they probably could have put him on IR because he's now missed four four games, but something like that. He's not a crucial piece. they can find. I mean, basically, he's a special teamer and a sub package player, but they've got pretty deep linebacking core. So, as much as I like ADG, it's not a huge loss with him not being in there.
Right.
Big loss if something happens to Pratt or Wilson and you don't have Davis Gaither to step in. But knock on wood, those two guys are good to go.
Yeah, all things considered, if that's our injury list every week, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is about as healthy as you can get, as healthy as you can expect to be when you're. I mean, this is literally the middle of the season. This is week 8 of 18. Yeah. So,
yeah,
there is a lot of news about Burrow's now working a lot more under center. This is what they were working on a lot in OTAs that they kind of had to stop doing when he had the calf injury, just pushing out from behind center. And I don't know how I feel about this. I'll get your thoughts here, but at least for the run game last year, they were awful under center. Maybe they're going to be more varied, but anytime they lined up under center, they were going to hand the ball off and Mixon would get stoned to the line of scrimmage. I'm hoping that these are wrinkles that maybe this is why the offense wasn't able to go because they leaned so heavily into this and they weren't able to do it. So that was a big chunk of their expected playbook. What does Burrow being able to go under center do for you? And you can speak from a coach's perspective.
Well, there's a couple of things. First, it allows multiple run schemes and plays to be available to you. Where when you're in shotgun, you're kind of limited to about two options. You know what I mean? So it gives them multiple schemes, and then so that opens the run game a little bit and the play action. I just think it gives the Bengals a different look. And you can't just rush Joe Burrow to a certain spot when he's in shotgun, especially when he couldn't move. That was a real problem. I think it will help the Bengals with Joe Burrow being under center, not all the time, but in certain down and distances and certain spots in the game, I think being under center is a useful tool for the Bengals. And I think the main key to it is it should hopefully, if we're trying to stay positive here, it should hopefully open up some things for Joe Mixon in the run game.
Yeah, the only issue with him was he was an absolute dead giveaway how he was lining up in the backfield, whether it was going to be a run or not. So
right. I think with where Joe Burrow's calf was at, the reason they got rid of that, obviously, pushing off and all of that. But if you can only hand the ball off out of under the gun or under center, that's an issue. I think clearly the Bengals – the fact that that everybody's heard about the Bengals knowing about that, they were going to fix that issue in some form or fashion. So I see them when they go under center, I think they'll be very balanced. And I think they'll make sure to kind of dispel those numbers and statistics that had been out there. So I do think it'll just open some things up.
At the very least, it's going to show a lot that hasn't been on film literally a year. I mean, they abandoned going under center almost exclusively last year in week 5, week 6. It was the Sunday night game versus Baltimore. And I'm a proponent of either shotgun or pistol formation. I think the quarterback can see scan the field. I mean, you've got a little bit wider view. I don't know, especially when you've got an offensive line, the interior of the offensive line that's been the issue. You've got that extra half second before they get pushed in your lap. And, if you're running out of a pistol, you still have the running back behind you. So it's not kind of a giveaway as to, what exactly they're planning to do. I mean, that's the one issue with handoffs out of the shotgun. I mean, he's lined up beside you. So it's easy to kind of key on him and see where he is. He's not going to kind of hide. So yeah.
I think play action becomes much more effective from under center. And then I think the other thing that I've always thought is that when you're in shotgun, at least in the NFL, these guys have gotten so good at getting a jump in shotgun. There's really not too many cadence differences you can do other than basically a fake cadence. And then you say whatever word makes it live. And now it's a live cadence. Yeah. So I think being under center gives you a little bit more It'll keep those Miles Garretts of the world from just flying off the ball and jumping your snap count. And then you're just, I mean, we've all seen it where that defensive end jumps it perfectly and the play's dead before it starts. I think it does kind of help avoid that.
Are you still able to run RPOs out? You know, I mean, you don't see a lot of RPOs run out of, you know, when quarterbacks are under center. So that's, I like that part of the game because they're able to get the ball quick. They're able to get the ball, you know, especially Chase on quick slants and, you know, bubbles and stuff like that. And I don't.
It's not necessarily an RPO. Everybody's falling in love with this term of RPO, which it is. You know, it is a beautiful thing when you execute it correctly. But the thing it does is, you know, you can still count numbers in the box and you'll have multiple plays and they can still up front be running the run play and you can still throw your bubble out wide if numbers dictate. So there's still things off of it that don't necessarily fit the RPO, but they kind of work in the same light.
You just look at a handful of offenses out there, like the 49ers that we're going to see on Sunday, like the Dolphins, and they've got different personnel, so it's not, you can't compare apples to oranges, but just seeing creativity and just seeing how varied and multiple and how many things, it's, you kind of look at it as if, imagine Burrow with how great he is at the pre-snap chess match, if they were a lot more, and maybe like he said he doesn't like all the motion. He doesn't like all, like he likes everyone being lined up at the snap so that he can, you know, see, you know, instead of worrying about where his guys are going, like, look at the defense and see if there's anything he can key off that. But I don't know. The Bengals have just, I don't want to say stale because we haven't seen the playbook that they had coming into the season. And hopefully we're going to see that realized this week and coming down the stretch. And they've got some huge games coming up. This 4-game stretch they've got coming up is ridiculously tough, but I don't know. Do you like the, I'm going to say novelty, but the more creative offenses out there, you know, do all the motion, all, you know.
I've personally always loved it. I think that, and this really goes to what the 49ers are and a little bit of, you know, what the Dolphins are. Is Brock Purdy a top 5 quarterback in the NFL? Absolutely not. Does he put up numbers at times that make him, you know, look amazing? Yeah. The goal of Kyle Shanahan and really what his offense is all about is anybody can play quarterback for me because I'm going to make the quarterback the easiest position. And when you can do that, if you give your quarterback easy throws, guaranteed 7 completions a game that are going to
Bueller. Greg, you there?
Am I there? Oh, there we go.
Oh, hang on. You back with us? I see you now. Can you hear me? Okay, we got you back, Greg.
All right. Sorry about that. So, yeah, I just think when you can give your quarterback 7 to 10 easy throws a game that are really guaranteed throws, and you see this with the Niners all the time. They'll bring an H-back under the line of scrimmage, you know, play action away, and then he has an easy dump-off pass. That guy rolls up the field for 12 yards. I just think Kyle Shanahan takes the ball away from Brock Purdy and gives himself guaranteed results. And then moves forward from there, and then you can run your offense where your quarterback has to make a throw. I personally think if you can make the offense easier for the quarterback, that makes perfect sense. So that's all Kyle Shanahan, that's all Mike McDaniel do is they're making the offense easier for the quarterback, easier throws. I equate it to a 3-point shooter. If I can get him an open layup in the first minute of the game, yes, please. I want my 3-point shooter to have an open layup, and then he's going to make his next 3 3-pointers. I feel the same way about quarterback. If a quarterback starts the game 5 for 5, even though I could have completed all 5 passes, he's much more likely to complete that deep shot when he takes it.
Just gets into rhythm and a little more confidence and, you know, body just feels, you know, you're making those passes, even if they're easy. Yeah, your body just feels better and you're ready to go. So we'll get into the full preview here in just a little bit. I do want to give a little bit of a division wrap up. Bengals were off, kind of keep track of where the rest of the division is. It was not a good weekend if you're a Bengals fan. The rest of the AFC North all won. Ravens are 5-2 in first place. They looked absolutely amazing. They smoked Detroit. Detroit's, you know, I still think Detroit's a damn good team, but they smoked them 38-6.
Yeah.
Lamar looked fantastic. He was hitting throws downfield. He was hitting everything. Team ran the ball well. 27 carries for 146 yards. I mean, that's damn near six yards a pop as a team. And again, Detroit is a solid team. I mean, their defense still lags behind their offense, but they were able to keep the offense down to 6 points. So that's not to say worrisome, but you know, you don't like seeing that as a team who's got to play them again and you know, in 3 weeks and has to catch up with them in the standings. They're now a game and a half behind them.
Yeah. I just think the Lions is the Lions versus the Ravens. The Ravens are a horrible matchup for the Lions. Lions want to play defense. They want to stop the run, and then they want to get you in third and long. And that's not really, you're not going to get the Ravens in third and long. They're always going to kind of, you know, turn their way up the field and then let Lamar do Lamar things. And the other part of it is the Lions are probably one of the worst designed teams to come from behind. That's just not their, MO. When they get the ball on offense, they want to ground and pound. They want to play action. You get Jared Goff into some easy throws. They want to use their tight ends. They want to be more physical than you. That's going to be tough when you're playing the Ravens. They're a physical ball club. I just think it was a really bad matchup for the Lions. In no way do I think that this is the Ravens are the Super Bowl. No, the Ravens are good. Don't get me wrong. But I just think they line up. If they could draw a matchup, I think the Lions would be exactly who they want to play.
You mentioned tight end. What's a tight end?
Something that doesn't exist in Ohio.
That's really frustrating. Ravens play at Arizona this week. Cardinals might have Kyler Murray back. He's been active from IR. He's full participant. So that means they're 1-6. They're not a good football team. I mean, they could end up 1-16, or they can come out and drop 45 points on the Ravens and absolutely throttle them. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. So
upset pick of the week.
Yeah, I mean, you expect to win, but I mean, I wouldn't put it. Arizona, I mean, they play hard.
Look at what Arizona's done. I mean, yeah. Bengals, they played them, you know, fairly well. Okay.
Yeah.
Dallas, don't forget about the Dallas game. Okay. Yeah. You know, that did happen. And this is all without Kyler Murray. And then the kid from the Kentucky homegrown kid, Rondale Moore, for Arizona, starting to get the ball in the backfield a little bit. And really starting to show some things. So I know D-Hop's not there and they've traded some people, you know, people have gone, but they still have some weapons. And Rondale Moore is one of them. I would just keep an eye out for the Cardinals this weekend. Just don't be stunned. Keep an eye out.
Yeah, I think the Bengals did break Joshua Dobbs. He was having a solid, a decent season, but Bengals held him to 166. He wasn't very good against the Rams a couple weeks ago, and then was pretty awful against Seattle. But again, we know Seattle's got talented defense, so not too surprising. But he can, you know, no matter who the quarterback is, whether it's Dobbs, whether it's Murray, win. I don't give a shit. Just win. Just win.
Yeah. Yep. Just win, baby.
Exactly. Old school Raiders. Steelers eke out a 24-17 win against the Rams. That being said, besides George Pickens, is there anybody on offense that worries or should worry any other team?
The next most worrisome guy to me would be the backup running back.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Warren.
Yeah, Jaylen Warren's the only one that I would be worried about. I mean, Najee looks like what Joe Mixon will look like when he's 33. Najee Harris has no explosion. I don't know what happened there, but he's I mean, he looks old, and he's not. I don't know if it's a bunch of carries in college or what, but he does not look explosive. So, really, after George Pickens, I mean, you can say Jalen Warren, but they seem to still want to give the ball to Harris. So, I guess my final answer is no.
Yeah, that really sucks when you've got an ineffective running back and you just continue to feed them and feed them and feed them and feed them, you know, despite having better.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I mean, that would be terrible if that was going on other places.
Can you imagine?
Steelers play at home versus Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's got a good matchup there. I think that's I haven't looked at spreads or anything like that, but I would imagine that Jacksonville is
greatest sports chant in the NFL. Duval. I love the Jacksonville Jaguars. Duval. That's just amazing. Duval County.
It's your chant is the county. I mean, that would be like Bengals doing Hamilton. And I
would love that. If somebody was chanting Boone County, Kentucky, I mean, I would be about it. I guess it's the Kentucky in me. You know, I like my, you know, down in these parts down here, Joe, we like that simple stuff.
What would be really, really great is, I think they're, the county in Pennsylvania that's right next to Pittsburgh, Beaver County, and they just yelled Beaver. That would be awesome.
If they, well, I won't even make a Deshaun Watson joke. I'll just let that go.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, I'm going to time out. Riverfront Bengals show.
We'll just have one of the color test screens like in the old days. So, onto our least favorite team, they're my least favorite team. Are they your least favorite team, the Browns?
No, for me, it's always been the Steelers. I have a real hatred for the Steelers ever since the hit. There's just so many hits. The Keith Rivers hit, the Vontaze Burfict hit. They never get punished. They think they're awesome. The Joey Porter thing, I can't. I will never. It's always going to be the Steelers, no matter what.
Terrence Garvin taking out your punter. Like it broke Kevin Huber's jaw on a block on a punt return.
Yeah.
They at least have success, you know, so they can, you know, rub in your face, you know,
true.
You know, one, for, you know, six rings, whatever. The Browns, like literally, I think they can't even, the only team that they can compare with history is the Lions.
Yeah,
because even the Cardinals, I mean, the Cardinals probably have the worst win-loss percentage in league history, but the Cardinals made a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, Browns have never won a Super Bowl. They'll point to championships in the 50s before most of the league, you know, before color TV and before the NFL and before most of the teams were even around.
Yeah.
Plus, again, they gave Deshaun Watson all this money. They keep Kareem Hunt around. They like to have, you know, Bengals have never been known to have the most choir boy, you know, have a roster full of choir boys, but I don't know. That being said, the Browns and the Men in Stripes steal victory from the Colts 39-38.
Boy, did they. I mean, that was brutal.
Yeah, they just terrible calls. And then supposedly Jim Irsay went on social media and said that the league contacted him and said that they blew the, I think it was the pass interference call.
Oh, clearly.
There were two kind of shitty calls.
It was back to back calls. The first one, okay, I mean, you know, whatever. We've all seen this call. It's 50-50, whatever.
Yeah.
The second one they call pass interference, the ball landed 7 yards out of the end zone. I mean, no shot.
Absolutely no, you know. That's the reason they have the uncatchable ball.
Yeah.
For that. I mean, that's fine if you see the contact and you throw the flag, but you've got plenty of other guys that are watching the play. They could say that was not a catchable pass.
Yeah.
And even if you had Victor Wembanyama, he's not catching that pass. So refs again, I don't have a whole lot of love for the Colts, so I don't really feel too bad for them. Gardner Minshew put up 38 points against the Browns, and I've gotten the notes here. Question: how did he put up 38 points? It's because the Browns' offense was really bad in the second half, and just a lot of punts, and they didn't have a lot of had a ton of drives, didn't have a lot of long fields to go, a couple turnovers. So, also Myles Garrett is a freak. Him jumping over, absolutely just hurdling the line on a field goal attempt to block the field goal. And I mean, that's, you know, that's game right there. I mean, that's, they ended up winning by 1 point. That was, that's huge, you know, that hugely affected the thing that it, Bengals need an impact player like that. I mean, they have good players. Trey Hendrickson is a damn good player. He's going to go down as one of the best pass rushers in Bengals history. They have never had that guy on defense. Steelers turn those guys out like nothing. Yeah. Ravens have had, you know, have had a few of those guys in, you know, Ray Lewis or Ed Reed.
I would say Geno Atkins was maybe close. You know, for a year or two, but not an extended run.
Yeah. Geno Atkins walked so that Aaron Donald could run.
Yeah.
But, man, again, being awful for so long and being able to stack first round picks, like one right after another, somebody's going to pan out. So it's, you know, it's not a surprise that the guy's a freak, but
yeah,
man, it would be nice to have someone that good. They're playing at Seattle. They're playing the 12th man. So again, there's outside of the Bengals division probably will, I wouldn't say probably, assume the division's going to go at least 1-2. Hope Arizona, you know, it was, Ravens are kind of, let's say, trap game, but overlooking them a little bit, and you know, they're able to surprise the Ravens. So it'd be nice to pick up a game. Everybody keeps winning. The Bengals are, or the AFC North is the only division where everybody's 500 or better. We all thought before the season that this would be the best division in football. Everyone kind of, you know, we're sluggish coming out of the start of the season, but it, you know, every team. As much as the Steelers offense is bad and the Browns quarterback play is awful, regardless who's back there, every team looks like their team that can make the playoffs. So I still expect, you know, the Browns and the Steelers to kind of shit the bed at some point, but
yeah, I think it's very possible for everyone else to go 0-3 this week. I think it's very possible. I really do like the Cardinals.
I'm completely okay with that. So
yeah.
You're going to put money on it? Sports betting is legal in the state of Kentucky now.
That's true. I might throw a few shekels over there.
I got a new phone and I haven't downloaded any of those apps or anything, so I gotta get that stuff. So
oh, my one buddy's yelling at me that I haven't downloaded these apps yet and got the freebies. I'm like, it's fine.
I'm a great gambler when it's someone else's money. Like they're asking, yeah, who do you think? And like I'd be a millionaire if I, you know.
Yeah.
If the games went the way that they do when it's someone else's money.
Yeah. I've had good days. I've had bad days. I know that.
Yeah. So. Bengals, week 8, San Francisco at 425. 49ers are coming off back-to-back losses. They lost Monday Night Football to the Vikings. They have lost two straight, pretty ineffective for the second week in a row. That's, I mean, you stop their quarterback play and you stop the 49ers, even with McCaffrey. Like, they're still reliant on a quarterback able to dish the ball. They tried playing without a quarterback in the playoffs last year.
Didn't work out.
Yeah, I still think it would have been awesome if they would have let McCaffrey or somebody, instead of just having a one-arm Brock Purdy out there handing the ball off, it would have been awesome if they would have just gone full, like, triple option, you know, bring, you know, or Wisconsin I, or do something creative. I get you don't have those plays in your playbook because that's not, right, you know, that's not who you are, but what a fun to see McCaffrey back there, you know, getting direct snaps and then, you know, either running it,
wouldn't have minded to see that.
It would have been a hell of a lot more entertaining than just watching. Oh, I mean,
sure.
What do the Eagles have to do? You put five down linemen in and bam, game over.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. All you're saying at that point is just, I mean, don't let anybody go tackle. I mean, you basically just don't mess it up.
Yeah. I mean, they really didn't even have to play any cornerbacks for the second half of the game.
Right.
Yeah,
they couldn't complete a 5-yard hitch if they had to.
Yeah, I don't even know if he even tried to throw the ball.
McCaffrey did try to throw it once.
Okay.
It was not good.
Okay.
From what I remember, I think he tried to throw it deep, and it was like if you sent me out there and said throw a 45-yard fade, it was not good. It was not good.
I wonder if they worked on stuff like that now. Just, you know, hey, just in case. I know they've got the emergency third quarterback rule back, but, you know, say they only have two active, they both go out, and I wonder if teams should work on a package of just some, you know, emergency, you know, running back or receiver that can, you know, go back there.
This goes to me. If you're working on that, you're cooked. I mean, you're done.
There's so much time in OTAs and stuff like that. Just to throw one, you know, you spend 5 minutes on it at the last, you know, at the end of practice one day.
Maybe for fun. Yeah. Keep them loose maybe, but no.
I mean, imagine if that happened to the Bengals when they had Mo Sanu.
Dude can throw.
I mean, that guy, I mean, he can hit receivers in stride. He could wing it.
Yeah,
deep accuracy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he had a stronger arm than Dalton.
Yeah, he could. Oh, he didn't underthrow it when he threw it deep on the trick plays. He let him.
No, I mean, they'd catch it in stride, too. I mean, he had a great feel for a touch on the deep ball. Like, man.
Of course, a stronger arm than Dalton. I mean, that's – I don't know how much – what that means, but
– Dalton, he is a pop gun quarterback. Yeah, I love Andy Dalton. I think he's going to be so much more well thought of,
yes,
you know, in 10 years than he was while he was here. But yeah, he was not known of someone who had a lot of deep accuracy. So you're back. So anyway, the Niners do have some injury concerns coming into this week. Deebo Samuel missed last week. He's not going to play again this week. Brock Purdy showed up yesterday, Wednesday, in concussion protocol. Apparently on Monday's game, there was a play. He kind of went over the top for a try to get a first down. And Cincinnati's own Jordan Hicks came across, and I don't think he even intended to go helmet to helmet. They're probably going to fine him because they do that crap, but it hit him pretty hard. Apparently no one caught it in the game, which, you know, you've got all these spotters, the guy with the red hat and all that crap. And they completely missed that he started having some symptoms on the flight back to San Francisco. I don't think there's a way that he can get through protocol in such a short week. I mean, he just showed up on a Wednesday. You've got 4 days, especially after a short week. I don't think he should, even if he can pass the stuff. That's
you wouldn't imagine, but.
I mean, Shanahan said in his press conference, like, oh, you know, it's, you know, it's possible, you know, and they're hopeful. It's no, let don't like again. You've got a plug and play system for a quarterback. Sam Darnold, obviously, he's not been able to hold down a starter's job. He was a top five pick in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's got talent. Like he's, you know, it's not like you're bringing in somebody, you know, some Jake Browning for that matter. Sit the kid out. Concussions, like,
yeah,
don't fuck with head injuries. It's dumb.
Yeah, if I was me, I wouldn't even – if I was the 49ers, I wouldn't even remotely entertain it.
No, it's not – I mean, they're 5-2. It's not like they're, you know, where the Bengals were a couple weeks ago or, you know, 2-5 and, like, they need a win to, you know, get him healthy. Again, like, they can still easily win. Bengals don't exactly have a good history against backup quarterbacks to begin with. Plus, that, you know, they're just a stacked team, top to bottom, offense, defense. So, just, you know, let the guy get healthy. And I'm not saying that as I want a, you know, lesser quarterback. I don't think much of Brock Purdy. I think he's someone who just doesn't make mistakes, which is funny because he was a freelancer at Iowa State. But, yeah, don't force him. Let that shit. I mean, you can't heal concussions, but you do want to make sure that, you know, you're as back to as good as you can get. And you're like, cause that's your brain. You don't fuck around with that. You only get one of those.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Trent Williams was out last week. He didn't practice on Wednesday. He supposedly still has a chance to play. They're hopeful he can play. That would be massive if he wasn't able to play.
Huge.
I mean, he's older. He's in his 30s. What is he? 35, I believe. He's still one of the best, still one of the best left tackles in the game. And if, I mean, I know we saw this against Tennessee and it surprisingly didn't yield a lot of yield great results. But Trey Hendrickson, who's absolutely on a heater right now, putting him against the backup left tackle seems like malpractice. The rest of their offensive line has struggled in pass protection. So even if Trent Williams is able to go, I think the Bengals have an edge there, but we'll see if he's able to go. And again, he's, you know, you get older as you're finding out, things take a little bit longer to heal. So we shall see what happens. Again, that would be absolutely massive for Trey if he gets to go against the backup.
You can't even measure how big that would be for the Bengals.
Yeah. So, ready for the three keys of the game?
Yes, sir.
Let us do the three keys of the game. On offense, get everybody involved. Again, it worked well a couple weeks ago, just giving the ball to Jamar and everyone else kind of get out of the way against Arizona. That's not going to happen. That's not going to work against this week. Last week, they couldn't get anybody involved, especially in the second half. You need to feed T. I think you need to feed T early, go deep, do something, just, you know, kind of break it open. And again, they got Tyler Boyd involved early last week, and I think that was good. He got the first touchdown, had a handful of catches. Again, just getting more guys at the defense has to be mindful of. And there's every team's going to double Chase, so it's not as if they're going to all of a sudden just leave him in one-on-one coverage all game long and go, you know, shadow T. Boyd in the slot or anything. But just you need to spread the ball around. And I mean, that's kind of what makes the Bengals offense cook is, you know, Joe's a distributor. He can get everyone involved. So,
yeah, when they're going right, that's exactly how you draw it up.
Yeah. Second key is find a tight end. Hasn't been anything really that I've seen that Zach Taylor has said in press conferences. I don't, you know, I'm not there to ask questions, and local media is just so soft and doesn't ask any tough questions. It's really annoying, but Bengals tight end room has been the worst tight end room in the entire league by far. Irv Smith has been completely a non-factor. Drew Sample, he is what it is. Like, he's got his role as a blocking back, but he's not going to be invested in the passing game. And Mitch Wilcox is just the depth guy.
Right.
I think you have to elevate Hudson. You know, he's got one more elevation. Make him bring him up this last week and then sign him to the 53-man after that. But with this linebacking core that they have, Greenlaw and Fred Warner, especially Fred Warner is the best linebacker in the NFL. I don't think there's a lot of people that are going to argue with that. Yeah. And if he's not number one, then he's number two. They're both great in coverage, but if you can get them having to chase a tight end down the seam, that's going to open up stuff underneath again for Boyd, for Chase. And again, you don't need to feed the tight end a ton. You just need the tight end to make a catch so that that's just someone else to keep eyes on. They don't need to worry. Defenses don't worry about Bengals tight ends right now. Yeah. It's one thing if it's, you know, if they're playing a zone and, you know, you just have someone in that area, but man to man, like, why would you cover a tight end? You can let them run down the seam free with, you know, behind the safety, and you Bengals can't count on them making a play.
Yep. Totally agree. I mean, there's just been zero threat. I mean, it's just no threat. So why worry about it?
Exactly. Again, it's all about, it's not about getting a ton of production for the tight end. It's about making better matchups and creating better plays for, you know, your more of your playmakers.
Yeah.
Trade deadline is next week. Bengals don't make trades in season. They made one 3 years ago with Carlos Dunlap. After he posted on social media the whiteboard and the depth chart and things like that, they had to because he was becoming like literally giving away team secrets and crap like that. They've changed the way that they've operated so much in the past handful of years, being so much more active in free agency. They're finally starting to modernize how they structure contracts.
Yep.
Do you think there's any chance that they look for a trade? No. In the next week?
No.
I don't either.
I'd be stunned.
Yeah. And I don't even think, I mean, everyone's talking about they need a tight end, they need a running back. I don't think they need a new running back. I think they need to use a different running back.
Right.
But there's been a lot of like Hunter Hurst, Hunter Henry, Hunter Hurst, I'm thinking wrestling. Hunter Henry and Hayden Hurst are, you know, are two names that are kind of getting banded about, that like they might be trade candidates. But again, I would be happy with either of them or Mike Gesicki. Somebody who's athletic and can make plays. I mean, we saw what Hayden Hurst can do in this offense. I definitely don't think, even if they were to make a trade, he's not the one coming, because he's got a contract through 2025. I don't hold your breath. It would be great.
Exactly.
Third key for me is don't force the run. There's always the old adage that you need to establish a run. No. Yeah. I mean, you can't totally abandon it and run every play as a pass play, but if it's not working, like you're going to have your scripted plays, you're going to have your first handful of drives to where, you know what you're going to run. If it's not, if Mixon isn't cooking, then quit running the ball. They've got a really good defensive front. And first thing, hand the ball off to more than Joe Mixon. He's gotten 96% of the carries, I think. Bengals running backs outside of Mixon have 5 carries on the season, which to me flabbergasts me. Mixon, I don't think he's good enough player to match up with the rest of players on the roster, and yet they're only using him. I get Travion Williams, he doesn't give you much outside of pass blocking. Chris Evans, I don't know if he peed in Zach Taylor's chili or kicked his puppy or something. They just don't utilize him and never really have. You drafted Chase Brown for a reason. Let's see what the hell he can do. He's the only one who has the ability to really break away. And he's only been out there for 6 plays, 9 plays, something like that.
Yeah.
Less than 10 plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less than 10 plays in the entire season so far. So what are your thoughts? This comes down to more. I love seeing the ball. I love spread open offense. I like the ball being thrown all over the yard. What is your kind of philosophy on, especially Bengals don't have a good run game?
Yeah.
What's your philosophy on that?
I think the Bengals need to go look at last week's game with Minnesota and the 49ers. If anybody watched that game at all, Minnesota did everything kind of backwards, kind of like backwards offense. When they were in theoretical run situations, a 2nd and 3 or whatever, they play actioned when it was a typical rundown. They did everything backwards. And I feel like that you kind of have to do that against Sam Frank, because if you line up and it's 2nd and 4 and they're thinking run and you're thinking run and you run the ball, it's going to end poorly. So I thought Minnesota did a great job of keeping San Francisco's defense off balance, running in all different spots. If it was 3rd and 7 and it's a passing down, that's when you run it. There's just, you have to play backwards against San Fran. If they know what you're doing, it's going to be, they're just too good.
And it's funny, I'm looking at the stats right now. Minnesota used 2 primary running backs. At each running back, Madison got 8 carries, Akers got 10 carries. I mean, that's their backup running back got more carries than any other Bengals running back has got. All the other Bengals running backs have gotten combined.
Yep.
Again, I don't think that matters in and of themselves to cycle guys in and out. But Bengals do need to get more production. I don't think it needs to necessarily be running the ball so much as more just being explosive, either in the passing game. Just find some way to be more explosive. They have zero explosion right now on offense because, yeah. And again, we're expecting that to change because Burrow is now healthy. Chase is catching everything underneath, so it's hard for him to break 10 tackles between the line of scrimmage and the goal line. So we'll see. Again, they need to, and again, with them having a bye, this is the good time to kind of change things up. They need to utilize more of their depth on running back, because Mixon's just not doing anything. I just don't understand. So on the flip side of the offense is the defense. Greg, you want to hit the keys on defense?
Yep, absolutely. So obviously, and this is always a big one, pressure Purdy is the first bullet point there. Trent Williams, if he's out, that would be huge. If we can get Trey going against their backup, I'll take Trey against any backup in the league. Trent Williams is maybe the best tackle in all of football. So him being out will be a massive, massive thing for the Bengals. I do think that if you can – it's similar to how we talked about a couple weeks ago. We got to be able to pressure with four. You've got to be able to get pressure with four. And I'm not saying you're necessarily getting home, but we need to pressure Purdy or Sam Darnold, whoever it is. You need to be able to move them, make them feel your pressure, even when it's just with four. When they have time to sit back there, their scheme is so good that they're going to be able to pick you apart or find some spots. You've got to be able to get pressure on them. And that first key will turn us into the second key, which is turnovers, which are obviously changes the game every game you're in. But if you get the pressure, it should lead to some turnovers, especially with this Bengals secondary that's played better and better and better and looks more opportunistic now than it ever has. You've got to feel as good about our secondary as you have in a long, long time. If we can get pressure on Purdy, that should ramp up some turnovers. And we saw that from Minnesota. They pressured Purdy. Purdy made some bad throws. I think we can expect similar things if it is Darnold instead of Purdy. The one thing about Brock Purdy, when you pressure him, his turnover-worthy plays go up by 60% when he's under duress. So if that's the case, if you can get some pressure on him, especially with Trent Williams out, yes, let our opportunistic secondary have some shots at making some massive plays and putting our offense in a good spot to get some easy points against that vaunted 49ers defense. So I think it kind of plays both ways, offensively and defensively. And then the last one, and I think, we've kind of talked about this, stay disciplined. And the 49ers used a ton of pre-snap motion, and they used it really, really well. And they use it for specific reasons because they want to find out what your job is and where you're going to be. And they want to get the right matchups against you, and they want to have their best receiver against your outside linebacker. And then knowing that that's a man-to-man matchup, and now they've won before they even say hike. So you've got to be able to show them some different looks and still stay disciplined and not miss assignments, which is much easier said than done. With all the motions that San Fran uses. The other part of stay disciplined when you're playing a team like this, and we've talked about this all year, you have to tackle. You cannot miss tackles against San Francisco. A missed tackle against San Fran turns a 4-yard gain into a 34-yard gain, and you can't do that. You have to tackle. You have to stay disciplined. You have to stay in your zone. You have to stay in your lane, and you have to make them execute continuously. And then you have to hope that you can force a bad play. I always say this, make offenses run plays. Make them have a 12-play drive to score, because at some point, Trey Hendrickson's going to get home. And now all of a sudden they're looking at 3rd-and-15, and that drives over. So make them run plays, stay disciplined, don't miss tackles. Make them advance the ball periodically, not chunk-wise. And then let our – that just gives more chance for your secondary and more chance for Trey Hendrickson to add to that sack total.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on top of just getting sacks, put him in 3rd-and-15, Trey's been really good at stripping the ball at, when he's hitting them. So,
yeah, good
again, just the more reps. I mean, you can't expect an offense to execute perfectly on a 15-play drive. There's going to be opportunities. The ball is going to be put in harm's way. Or they're going to make mistakes, either penalties or something out there. So, back to pressuring Purdy, his PFF grade is 81 when he's kept clean and 51 when he's pressured. That is a massive variance there. So, and again, I mean that shows you the strength of the 49ers that they're because of how dynamic their offense is, because of the threat of Christian McCaffrey. And how good their offensive line usually is. Again, this year, they're outside of Trent Williams, their offensive line is pretty poor against the pass. Someone who isn't good with pressure is still able to be so incredibly productive. So that's why it's absolutely. And if you have to blitz. Bengals blitzed a lot more against Geno Smith than I really expected them to, and it worked. I mean, they didn't have to down the stretch because the defensive front was just absolutely.
Right.
Feasting on them. But earlier in the game, I mean, Wilson got a sack. Dax Hill came in. Nick Scott had a good pass rush. So it's, you're giving Lou Anarumo an extra week. it's going to be a fun chess match because obviously we know Shanahan's the offensive genius and loves tinkering and trying weird formations, motions, all kinds of weird exotic things. And we know what Luke can do when the mad scientist gets in the lab. So it'll be fun to see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. So it's almost one of those games to where you wish the Niners were full strength to see them against Debo, to see Trent Williams at full strength, Brock Purdy. But then again, I'm not one of those. I don't care. Like, I'm not going to apologize for my team winning the game against the team that's banged up.
You never apologize for an NFL win, and they're so hard to come by. I mean, I agree with you. I don't apologize for wins.
Yeah, I mean, you see a lot of people that are magnanimous and all, you know, if someone major, you know, a big playmaker is out, I don't care. If the Bengals play the Steelers and TJ Watt isn't playing, that's a benefit. If Myles Garrett isn't playing when the Bengals play the Browns, like, nobody has anyone to match up with those guys, so I'm okay with them not.
Did anybody feel bad for the Bengals when Joe Burrow's calf wasn't right, when T. Higgins had crap, you know, his ribs don't? Did you hear anybody in the national media say, "Oh, the Bengals will be fine. It's injuries." No, it's the Bengals are trash. They're done. Nobody feels sorry for you in the NFL. That's just not. This is a grown man's league. You get paid to play. So if the guy in front of you goes out, nobody's feeling bad for you. It's time to, you know, giddy up. Let's go.
Yeah, the guy who is replacing him is a professional too. Was the best player on his high school team, best player, you know, at a position on a college team, and he's making a hell of a lot of money himself. So I don't feel bad. It's, you know, I want my team to win. I really don't give a shit who they're going up against, and that's all that matters to me. So it is prediction time. We do have a couple of guest predictors here. I'm going to our good friends, host of the Riverfront, Nate Dotson, and then Tim Danos here. We'll let them play and have them give their predictions here.
What's up, Bengals fans? I'm here with my guy, Richmond Webb, and we're here to tell you that the Bengals are going to beat the 49ers on the road 28-24. It's going to be a tough one. I really wish the Niners were coming off a win instead of consecutive losses, but with Debo out and the Burrow-Chase combination too strong to overcome, the Bengals take it home.
How awesome is it that he's got a Richmond Webb bobblehead?
I'm amazed. I mean, I'm truly amazed. I cannot believe it.
He had told me about it last year. And I can't remember why, because Richmond Webb was only Bengal for, I think, 1 or 2 years. I mean, he was a really good player for the Dolphins, but a Bengals Richmond Webb bobblehead is still pretty fantastic. So,
although, you know what? I'm going to bring in my bobblehead next show. I have my own bobblehead. I'm bringing it in.
Please do. Again, Nate has Bengals 28-24. We'll see what Tim Daniel, host of Late Night Reds, our good friend, hopefully yours, has to say.
Bengals and Niners, intriguing matchup. Bengals are 3-0 in non-conference games this year. Let's make it 4-0. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, another big game in San Fran. Give me the Bengals, 27-21.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is an intriguing matchup. I mean, this has been, last 2 years, a lot of people's picks for a potential Super Bowl matchup.
Yeah.
You know, again, Nate's got him 27-21, similar to Tim, or yeah, or Tim. Let me try that again. Tim has him 27-21, similar to Nate. I've got the Bengals 24-22. I think McPherson, not a walk off field goal, but he hits a field goal late in the fourth quarter to give them the lead. I just think Bengals are ascending, and not that the Niners are kind of bottoming out or anything like that. They're still a damn good team that matches up, you know, that they can beat all 31 teams and can absolutely go on a run, regardless whether it's you, me, 70-year-old Joe Montana, or 60, how the old he is, he's old, you know, 65-year-old Joe Montana under center.
Yeah,
they're that damn good. I just think where the teams are right now, Bengals healthy, even though it's in San Francisco, I just think the Bengals are going to pull out a close one. What are your final thoughts on the game?
I have Bengals 17, 49ers 16. I think the key to the game for the Bengals is, obviously San Fran's going to have some chances. I think that the Bengals need to limit them to field goals. And that's what I think that the Bengals will be able to do. limit them in the red zone. I think three field goals for the Niners, they struggle punching it in. And I think the Bengals escape San Francisco with a 17-16 victory with a couple big plays from T. Higgins. And I think we see some things on defense we haven't seen yet with Lou Anarumo having a week off. I think we see them implore some strategies that I don't want to say they're off the wall, but just different. There's no way the Niners could have prepared for them because we haven't shown them on film yet.
We'll call it exotic.
Exotic. There you go.
We promise we're not going to pick the Bengals every week. I mean, this was the one, if everyone was healthy, I think I would have, this would have been, I would have picked the 49ers to win this one.
If they had Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel, Brock Purdy, I think, the Bengals traveling to San Francisco, that would have been a tall task.
Yeah.
With any combination, two of those three out, it changes a lot.
Absolutely. They're coming off a short week and Bengals are coming off a bye week. Again, traveling cross country is never great, but I just think things line up for the Bengals to be able to pull this off. It's funny, when the first news came out of Brock Purdy being in concussion protocol, the line immediately dropped. It was 49ers -6, immediately dropped to, I think, 3.5. It might even have gone down since then. Yeah. So anytime you see a spread like 3 points or so to the home team, that's pretty much a pick 'em game that you just give the home team 3 points. So,
yep.
It should be a fun one regardless. We will be back here Sunday pretty much at 8 o'clock. So pretty much right after the game wraps up, we will be here live to break down and hopefully have happy adult beverages and not tears in our beers.
Yeah.
So
happy
beverages. It's going to be a nice fall weekend. So it's almost Halloween. Orange and black has to rule the day on Halloween. That's
correct.
Not what happened last year, that Bengals got throttled against the Browns on Halloween. That was bad.
By the way, it is -3. I just looked up the spread. It is San Fran -3, which means basically a pick'em game. But for me, traveling East Coast to West Coast, I think there's like an added point in there. So really, I think they're calling the Bengals kind of the favorite if you took away the home field and crossing, the country.
Crossing the Rubicon.
Yeah. This is a good line from Vegas for the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, either way, it should be a fun game to watch. I wouldn't be upset if the Bengals just steamrolled them and it's over by halftime, but I
would be fine with that.
That San Francisco defense is just too damn good. I mean, they've got studs everywhere. I mean, we didn't even mention anyone on the defensive line. Nick Bosa is apologizing for his lack of productivity, and he's on the short list, everyone's short list of defensive player of the year pretty much every year. So,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think they didn't have any sacks last week, or they haven't had like a couple games or whatever. They're on a.
I think you're correct on that.
He's on a dry spell. Let's like make it last one more week. They can beat the crap out of the AFC or the NFC West. Bengals sweep. They will be 4-0 against the NFC West. Bengals rule the NFC.
They did.
I mean, the last handful of seasons. I mean, it goes back to Andy Dalton days. Bengals pretty much beat the crap out of teams in the NFC. Now, granted, AFC is the stronger conference. The NFC has a couple juggernauts and then just a bunch of also rans, so it's not surprising, but still, I mean, it's nice to be confident going into a matchup against a team, you know, good, bad, whatever, that you know you're gonna be able to come out with the win. So any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I guess I'm bringing the Andrew Luck neck beard back. We're bringing the neck beard back. I don't know, Andrew Luck, you're safe. I got the neck beard covered, buddy.
What a shame. How much that guy retired. And I get it. I mean, he had so many injuries so early in his career. How much the Colts' fortunes changed when he hung him up. I mean, they're switching quarterback to quarterback. Anthony Richardson looks like a guy, except now he's had concussion problems and a shoulder injury that's knocked him out, which is awful to see in his first year. Stay healthy. Take care of your health, guys. So,
yeah, just outside of that. Think about how many bad Sundays he gave Indianapolis with Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan. Oh,
Jacoby Brissett. I mean, he started a bunch of games.
The list goes on.
They've got Minshew Mania back.
Yeah, he's the best out of all the ones they've had.
Yeah, I think so. Again, we will see you guys Sunday night to do a wrap-up. Outside of that, hoo-day, everybody.
Hoo-day.